Welcome to the Spotlight Edition of the Future of Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Wright. Join me as I have conversations with fascinating medical experts as we discuss a variety of compelling topics. We aim to not only inform you, but to empower you, instilling confidence along your journey toward optimal health. This podcast is brought to you by Brentwood MD. Located just south of Nashville, Tennessee, Brentwood MD provides best-in-class concierge primary care. To learn more about our innovative approach to primary care, visit our website at brentwoodmd.com. My guest for this Spotlight Edition is Dr. Sahil Chopra, a quadruple board certified physician in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine, critical care, and sleep medicine. Dr. Chopra trained at UCLA, Loma Linda University, and Harvard Medical School, where he developed a deep foundation in the science and physiology of sleep. He is the co-founder and chief medical officer at Empower Sleep, a digital platform redesigning how we diagnose and treat sleep disorders using continuous real-world data as opposed to one-night sleep studies. At Empower Sleep, Dr. Chopra is performing highly personalized, accessible care in a home-based format that is transforming patient outcomes. We hope you enjoy our conversation. Well, Dr. Chopra, I'm so excited to have you join me for this Spotlight edition of our podcast. I feel like the work that you're creating and doing for Empower Sleep is really revolutionizing some personalized sleep care. So I'm super excited to dive in for the sake of our members at our practice, but also our general listeners, to let them learn more about not only their sleep and some general information, but also about what you do at Empower Sleep. So thanks for joining me.
No, thank you for having me. It's always exciting to talk about sleep. People say that, you know, I can do something in my sleep, but I feel like I can talk about sleep in my sleep because I do it so much throughout the day.
Oh, I bet. Well, we're excited to glean from some of that knowledge. And, you know, after introducing you a few seconds ago in this episode, obviously, your experience is really broad and vast, but really, what inspired you to hone in on sleep medicine and to create Empower Sleep?
Yeah, it's. I wish I could say that it was one thing, but like many times in medicine, where we end up is a byproduct of so many things in our career. And I started off as an internist, did residency at UCLA. I then ended up doing a pulmonary critical care fellowship, which I had the opportunity to do at Loma Linda. And for the audience that doesn't know, Loma Linda is a blue zone. A blue zone means it's a place where people live longer than the average city or area. And that really got me interested in wellness, lifestyle, and
not sure that, but
there's also a big overlap between pulmonary medicine and sleep medicine because of a condition called obstructive sleep apnea. So yeah. Like that desire to be more wellness centric, and becoming exposed to the importance of sleep through my pulmonary medicine fellowship got me really curious about sleep medicine. And yeah, this was around the same time where wearables were becoming very popular in 2016 or so. Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep, I got my hands on that, and that was really fascinating. And I just became really interested in this like field of sleep medicine. So I ended up doing a fellowship. Luckily, I matched in Boston at Harvard. MGH, Beth Israel, and Boston Children, they have a joint program. And doing sleep medicine there just opened my eyes to what sleep medicine actually is. And when I went in, I thought sleep apnea medicine was sleep medicine. But as I went into fellowship and I finished it, I was kind of blown away about like the depth and breadth of what sleep medicine and sleep science actually is. And as I was finishing fellowship and was looking to join a program, most clinics today are sleep apnea clinics. Like people get a sleep study to look for sleep apnea. The mindset is very sleep apnea centric. And And I felt like I had learned so much information, so much knowledge from so many brilliant people. Harvard has a faculty of almost 100 doctors and scientists. And I had learned so much, and like there was no place to apply all that knowledge. So Empower Sleep was this idea of like, how do I provide this same kind of Harvard grade care that I was taught to provide in the clinics, and how do I do it in the private practice model? And that was kind of the original idea of Empower Sleep, is to provide Harvard grade sleep care to patients in a way that could eventually scale and incorporate telemedicine and all of those things. So it's really been like a journey over time.
Yeah.
I wish there was like a one sort of spot, like a light bulb moment, but that's not really what happened.
Yeah. No, that's a great story. And I love how you even focused on like the year 2016, which, you know, not even a decade ago yet. And it seems to me that there's been, with the wearables, obviously a lot more awareness for individuals' sleep. But also through that time, just an evolution of sleep science and really the data that lies underneath some abilities to track one's quality of sleep. And to kind of reflect that evolution, you know, looking back to when you started your fellowship to now, what may be one thing that you were trained on or believed roughly a decade ago that has been disproven or something you've changed your mind about?
I think the biggest thing is, historically, I used to think of the idea of sleep from the perspective of a sleep disorder. Like, is there sleep apnea? Is there insomnia? Like, those were the questions that as a physician I would ask myself as I'm talking to a patient. Mm-hmm. But now the question that I ask myself, and I think most of us are moving in that direction because of wearables, is what is your sleep health?
Okay.
And how is it changing over time? And so now the conversation is about what is the health of your sleep? And should I look at it with more detail versus do I need to order a sleep study for you to rule in or rule out obstructive sleep apnea? Do I need to order a sleep study for you to look for restless legs or some other sleep disorder? So I think like I look at sleep in a much more broader umbrella term. You know, like it's one thing to treat hypertension, but it's a fundamentally different thing to improve cardiovascular health. And like I've made that movement for myself of going from like a disorder of sleep to what is sleep health and how do we improve it and fix it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've often told patients that, you know, from a primary care perspective, there's very few conditions that I treat and address that patients will come in and thank me for. You know, no one's ever come in and said, hey, thanks for controlling my blood pressure. You know, thanks for lowering my LDL. But sleep disorders and really even sleep apnea is where I remember these original stories, is when you can really change someone's sleep health, you know, 8 hours of their day, a third of their day, just for sleep, and obviously the ripple effects into the rest of those 24 hours, people thank you for that. And that's really powerful. And I think of what you're sharing there is just a reminder of how foundational our sleep health is to our cardiovascular health, our neurologic health, and really every aspect of health. So I'm such a worthy conversation for us to have. And I can't wait to just dive into more about specifics about Empower. Before we get into that, though, and I don't want to spend time really focusing on the problem, you know, sleep trouble. I really want to focus on the path to a solution. But with the problem, is there anything you can share with us that you feel like are maybe some common kind of root causes to why sleep issues have become so prominent? I know that's a fairly broad question, but any common themes that you may see in the patients you work with?
Yeah, 100%. And the way that I'll invite folks to think about this is, if we try to figure out what's the cause of the problem, then we can bucket solutions according to that cause. Or mm-hmm. what is the problem, and then we can accordingly bucket solutions to the problem. And the most common sleep disorders today are obstructive sleep apnea. And the solutions to that depend on what's really going on. What's the severity of apnea? Is it during REM sleep? Is it during non-REM sleep? What are some of the things that the individual has tried? Weight drives a role. Blocked nasal passages drive a role. The size of the upper airway drives a role. So like there are a variety of different solutions for sleep apnea. For insomnia, for example, there's a variety of different drivers of people who have difficulty with sleep onset or difficulty with sleep maintenance. Anxiety, mm-hmm. mental health, iron deficiency, metabolic disorders, hormonal deficiencies, or excess. Menopause, vasomotor symptoms, all of these things can drive the symptomatology of someone not being able to sleep well. So it becomes a really hard question to answer, because when we think about this idea of why am I not sleeping well, a better question to ask oneself is, what do I think is the root cause of why I'm not sleeping well? And then accordingly, I can figure out what could be some potential solutions. And what is a really common scenario today is people say, oh, I'm not sleeping well, maybe I need magnesium. I'm not sleeping well, maybe I need an eighth sleep mattress. I'm not sleeping well, maybe I need a weighted blanket or curtains or supplements. You know, it's like it's very shotgun approach and reflexive, mm-hmm. rather than being a little bit more thoughtful of like, what do I think is going on? What are some symptoms that might be driving that could give me a clue of what the root cause is, and then accordingly find a solution. And I think that's like a pretty big problem today, because sleep gets kind of bucketed into like one, as if it's one pathology, versus there are multiple different pathologies under this idea of I don't sleep well, and all of them have like very different solutions.
Yeah. Well, let's use that as a launching pad to jump into how Empower approaches the diagnostics. You know, I think one thing, you know, and I haven't mentioned yet that I participated in kind of the onboarding of a new patient within your program. And so when I received the sleep device and downloaded the app and then immediately was able to get 7 to 10 days of data, that was amazing. And that's so unique compared to the traditional care model where you may just have a home sleep study for a night. So tell me about the diagnostics that Empower Sleep offers that's very unique compared to traditional sleep medicine.
Thank you for pointing that out, and thank you for your feedback. Traditional sleep medicine is rooted in this idea of a single night study, which is a snapshot. And the other problem associated with that is that sleep study gets used as a sleep apnea test rather than a sleep health assessment.
Yeah.
And when we look at it that way, then it robs us of the opportunity to look at the idea of sleep health. Like if, for example, if I told, like we all know as physicians that a chest x-ray is not a pneumonia test. A chest x-ray is a chest x-ray. You can identify pneumonia, but you can also identify heart failure. You can identify osteopenia. You can identify so many different things depending on the clinical context. And similarly, a sleep assessment is basically a measurement of someone's physiology while they are sleeping. And when we look at it that way, it allows us to have a much broader perspective on what do we think is going on, which in traditional sleep medicine doesn't necessarily happen. So at Empower Sleep, when we're doing sleep studies, we're looking at them as like a sleep health assessment. do they have apnea or not is like a very secondary, tertiary question that gets answered, but we're looking at it from a much broader way. But the other thing that's really powerful is we do multiple nights of testing. And when we do multiple nights of testing, it allows us to understand night-to-night variability. It allows us to understand night-to-night, how is duration, timing, sleep health changing. And it allows us to look at sleep for that individual in their home across time and capture averages rather than these single night snapshots or outliers. So I wish I was like, it was just like one level of innovation, but I feel like it's a fundamentally different approach from a assessment standpoint. And by doing that, it allows us to provide much more precise care of like, hey, this is what I think is going on based off all of this information and all of this data. And this is, then that allows like the care plan, which is then dynamic. And it's just, it's been a lot of fun to be able to provide people personalized sleep care this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, obviously my experience was just one individual's, and transparently, knock on wood, I have been blessed to this point in my life with what I perceive as good sleep, which luckily your team kind of verified a bit of. But even within having good sleep, I was able to glean some information and had a meeting, virtual meeting with Dr. Gunn on your team. And she was so thoughtful and intentional about her interpretation of my data, which was probably about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks at that point, and showing me the details and then making some recommendations for me, even as someone who is classically an okay sleeper, I was able to even think about how to optimize it. So I can only imagine the value for individuals who encounter your program with sleep issues, you know, whatever the root cause is, the ability to uncover a root cause and therefore develop treatment. And with that treatment plan, and I know this is fairly broad because it will depend on the individual, but I think for so many people, they think of a CPAP machine, they think of medications, prescriptions, and they think of supplements. How can we help patients understand a real broad approach to treatment? Because I know Empower Sleep involves cognitive behavioral therapy, alternative techniques like mouth taping and other things that may be recommended. So kind of walk me through what a patient might could expect on the other end of their diagnostics when they transition to therapy.
Totally. You're spot on. It really depends on what the driver is. And what is the severity and burden of pathology? And like the metaphor that I'll give is if someone walks into a clinic and they have a hemoglobin A1C of 16, they've kind of bought themselves insulin, at least for some period of time. And similarly, if someone comes to us with horrible, severe sleep apnea, they probably have bought themselves CPAP for some period of time too. But most people are not like that. 70% of people don't have severe sleep apnea. So for that 70%, we have a variety of other options that can help, that are tools to essentially improve nasal breathing, to improve mouth closure, to improve sleeping on your side, along with tongue exercises, breathing practices, dental appliances, tongue stimulation devices that can work equivalent and sometimes better than a CPAP machine. Mm-hmm. And that list continues to grow. And in that list, it's not like we're going to use this solution or this solution. It's rather like what solutions can be stacked to then help solve the problem, right? And most of the time people have like not just one problem with their sleep. They tend to have other issues going on with their sleep too. And if for example, if someone has chronic insomnia, cognitive behavioral therapy is the first-line treatment. And what that entails is helping one restructure their thoughts, behaviors, and habits from those that are not conducive to sleep to those that are conducive to sleep. And doing that in like a coaching-wise, a coach-like fashion. And making small sprints 1 week at a time or 2 weeks at a time. Like instead of giving someone like a, you know, a PDF of here, I want you to do these sleep hygiene techniques and I'll see you in 6 months, which we know doesn't work very well. But if I say, hey, do this for this week and do this for the next week and do this third thing for this week. And in addition to that, I want you to incorporate meditation, HRV biofeedback, breathing exercises, deep muscle relaxation, and these kinds of routines before bed and these kinds of routines upon awakening, like we can make so much progress as we're tracking someone's sleep across time. So it's not about medications. I love liberating people from medications. I think that's very exciting. It's not about a CPAP machine. I love people. I love liberating people from a CPAP machine. I think that's super exciting. And it's just about what can we do as an organization and as a team to meet the patient where they are, to find them a solution that fits them as an individual. So it really kind of goes back to like, what's the root cause of the problem? And let's look at that problem in a physiologic way and track it across time to see what are things that improve your physiology.
Yeah, it's so pertinent to think about because in my practice, literally 2 days ago, I was talking to a gentleman who was diagnosed with sleep apnea, a traditional medicine diagnosed with sleep apnea on a CPAP several years ago before we met. But over the last year or two, he's lost about 40 pounds and really changed his fitness and his nutrition. And he has pulled on some levers for his health that are really powerful, one of which being controlling his sleep apnea. But he was asking me the other day, he's like, well, you know, I wonder if I can stop the CPAP. You know, I wonder if my lifestyle changes, my weight loss has helped. And of course, I knew I'd be talking to you in a couple of days, but I was just thinking, wow, like, you know, in the traditional model, he'd have to stop it, get another one night sleep study, you know, once again, just a one off, you know, if he has a good night, maybe it shows less apnea, whatnot. But with Empower, he could immediately, with direction, stop his CPAP, track for a few weeks, talk to you all and see if indeed he can be liberated from the CPAP. So I know that's it's such an enjoyment and a passion for you to be able to tell people, hey, you can actually stop the medicine. You can stop the CPAP. You can, and so many people desire that liberation, but they also obviously desire a good outcome. And it's that tension of being on a medicine or being on something for so long and feeling like you're going to give up the improvement that you might have seen. But to be able to do it in a way that really navigates them into a healthier sleep pattern without external inputs is really great.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. And I'll just sort of add to that. Maybe we might not be able to, let's say hypothetically, we're not able to liberate them from a CPAP machine completely to nothing. Maybe they're being liberated from a CPAP machine to mouth tape and nasal strips and nasal steroid sprays and sleeping on their side. You know, so it's like, it's not about, the goal is to give the patient what they need so that their sleep and breathing is as like healthy as possible. And so even that's a really good outcome. Like, hey, you don't need a CPAP anymore, but like, these non-CPAP solutions, when stacked together, are equivalent to how your sleep is with the low pressure of CPAP. And being able to have the objective data to make those recommendations as a physician is like really powerful. For example, if someone has diabetes and they're using a continuous glucose monitoring device, being able to tell someone over a course of a month, your blood sugar is the same with diet and lifestyle versus having to take metformin and a sulfonylurea medication, you know? And I think, like, as a physician, that makes, I see you smiling right now, and I feel the same way, being able to draw these like comparative conclusions and giving the evidence back to the patient. And it's very liberating for them, because then they want to do all the things that they can so they don't have to take a medication. And like this patient that you're talking about, they would want to maintain a lower weight because they will know that, hey, if I gain more weight, like I'll have to use a CPAP machine again. And all I need to do now is I can breathe better, sleep better, feel better with these like very over-the-counter solutions.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the greatest misconceptions I think about our field as physicians is that we enjoy prescribing medications, that we enjoy prescribing machines. We find no greater joy than when we don't have to, and the same outcome can be achieved. It's a powerful, obviously, ability to be able to do that and to steward that gift well. But we find such great joy when we can say, hey, I think you can stop the lisinopril. You can stop the metformin and you're going to be just fine. That's a great day in my life.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
And the last thing I'll say before we kind of wrap up this part of our conversation, just for clarity, is Empower Sleep is all inclusive, correct? Like when, even though the relationship with you and a patient would be virtual, when it comes to a CPAP machine or a recommendation for a dental device, you guys can facilitate all that, correct?
That's correct, yeah. So if patient does need a CPAP machine, we would order it. It would be shipped to their door. And we would then personalize that CPAP machine from what is like factory settings to something that is more personalized to that patient. And whether from a mask standpoint, a pressure, a temperature, humidity standpoint, and we would make sure that the machine is synchronized with their breathing before saying, you know, we're going to graduate you from the program. So instead of farming this out to like a medical device company or a medical equipment company, we do everything in-house with that same level of patient service, customer service, hospitality that most concierge medicine clinics are already doing. And we do that for essentially everything for patients. If they need a dental appliance, we have a network of about 600 dentists that we would refer to on the ground who are sleep apnea-centric dentists versus a general dentist. And we've been able to build these relationships, vet who is really good, who is not, and refer to the appropriate person when needed.
That's great. Well, thanks for that clarity. And Sahil, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. We'll kind of pause our conversation and wrap up this episode of the Spotlight Edition. And we'll pick up with our next conversation where I hope we can focus a little bit more on the wearables and maybe some special populations that could really benefit from learning about what you're doing with Empower Sleep. So thanks again for your time.
No, thank you. I look forward to it.
Thank you for listening to this conversation. I truly hope you found it useful. You can find out more about today's episode and discover additional resources at BrentwoodMD.com. Be sure to check out all of our other content that we've created by searching BrentwoodMD on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. If our content has provided you with value, it would mean the world to us if you subscribed to the show and left a review. This helps us ensure that more people, just like you, can find our content so that they can begin optimizing their health. To learn more about our concierge services that we provide to our members, visit BrentwoodMD.com. We'd love to meet you. This podcast was for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should seek the advice of their own trusted medical professional.